Thank you, guys. Great stuff from our worship team tonight. And I want you guys to think about a year ago today. It was July, and life was a lot different last July than it is right now. And the first things that might come into your head is how life is not good in this moment. But I want you to think about Were you there?
Yep,
okay. I want you to think about what could become better in this weird season that we're in right now. Is that there could be something in your life that becomes better than it was a year ago. Something in your life that's not good even today that could be better a week from now. And we're going to be, first off, think in your own head though, what's something that you wish was better in your life right now? Maybe you don't have enough peace. Maybe there's some sort of brokenness. Well, I'm going to read you a passage, and my guess is that you didn't aim nearly as high for what you want to improve as what this passage is going to talk about. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3, and this guy Paul is writing a prayer, and we're going to look into that prayer and try to figure out what it's about. And then we're going to do something about it. That's what I'm going to challenge you. Okay? So if you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to be in Ephesians 3, starting at verse 14. And Paul says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father," talking about God the Father, "from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." So let me slow you down right there. I'm not a Greek expert, but I can tell you a little bit about what's going on in those two verses. So the word for father and family in Greek that Paul's writing in, they're really similar. But what the idea is here that Paul's getting at is that family, good family, flows out of God the Father. That he's the source of what a family should be. And some of you, I know, we were just talking in class just right over there about how hurt people, right? And this idea that when people go out and they use, oftentimes the people they hurt the most are their family, are the people closest to them. And whether you've used or not, my guess is you've probably hurt your families in ways that you wish you hadn't. And I can think of examples of that myself. But I also, I've been really blessed. I have a really good relationship with a lot of different family members. And just a little over a week ago, my family started hanging out with my sister's family. And we were getting donuts together. My sister had bought some donuts and we're eating the donuts together. And she says, "I'm so sorry. They were out of most things when I got there. By the time we got there," she said, "so they didn't have any cake donuts or hardly any cake donuts. I know those are your favorite." And some of you are like, "Cake donuts, what does that even mean?" Like you're thinking like birthday cake or something. Tracy says delicious, or Heather does. So if you haven't eaten as many donuts as I have, you might not know, but there's cake and yeast. There's like the bigger, like traditional, like glazed. That's technically called like a yeast donut. And then like an old fashioned glaze that's much better than that. That's called a cake donut. So that's what I think it is. Okay, so like they're thicker and smaller. Doesn't matter at all. The weird thing about it is I don't think any single person at Mayo, I've been at Mayo since 2011, I don't know that a single person here would have said Jake likes cake donuts better. I don't know that I go around talking about that very much. I know I'd not told Audrey that for years. I don't think that has come out of my mouth in years. And so it was weird that my sister knows me that well. And if you've been around people who care about you, or maybe even just people that lived with you, they probably know all sorts of things about you. It might even surprise you, right? And especially if they are generous or kind people like my sister is, it can come out in all these ways. Like, man, it feels really good to be known by somebody in the details, right? A lot of us here were longing for people like that in our life. Somebody who really knows us and really loves us. It's very rare to find that. But what God is God's the source of good family. Okay? And so whatever we might have experienced with our families, whether it was good or bad, God, I believe, wants you to have, whether it's biological or not, he wants you to have a good family. And Paul is writing this, it's going to be a lot of yous, but he's not saying you, Brian English, or you, Corin Davis. It's not just one person he's talking to. He's saying you, the group of people there, the church family there, is what he's talking about. And whether, I don't know if you're going to have a good connection with your biological family or not, but I believe that if you follow Jesus, that Jesus will bless you with a good family. That's one of the things he wants to give you. I don't know that we're all going to get cars or that we're all going to get houses or whatever, but Jesus talks about, if you leave things for me, you'll receive father and mother and brother and sister and persecutions. I mean, Jesus is always honest. You're going to have some hard things, but I'll give you a family. That's the sort of thing Jesus makes promises about. If we follow him, we can expect to have a real good family. So we're going to keep reading here, but that's the start. Is something that could be better in your life than last year? Is I think we could actually be better connected. That's what God wants for us. And it's not going to look exactly like it's ever looked before, but I think he has more for us than we've ever had before. So we go on from verse 15. Paul says, I pray that out of God's glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. If you don't have power in your life, a very good question to ask is, have you asked God for power? Paul asks specifically for the Holy Spirit to empower him on the inside. Not just so he can be a superman, not just so this church can be a bunch of super people. He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. A lot of times we boil Paul down to say, all you need is faith. And as long as you believe the right things about Jesus, you're good. And we kind of shrink what Paul says down to that. But here he asks for God's riches to be bestowed upon us in power so we can have this relationship with Jesus through faith. This idea that faith walks us through the door, but it's God's power that opens the door up for us. And we've all met people who seem like they don't even get a chance to have faith. It's like that door is just closed, or like there's a veil over their hearts, might be how Paul says it somewhere else. But there's this idea that like God's power has to show up in somebody's life to even give them a shot at having faith. I don't understand all the details there, but I know Paul prayed for people to have God's power show up so that they could put their faith in Jesus and have Jesus live with them. That word dwell has really stuck out to me. That Jesus doesn't want to just get to know your name or something. Jesus wants to dwell with you, wants to be in the same spot with you, right? I mean, that's how my sister knows what kind of donuts I like. It's because we grew up all those years together, you know? She hit me over the head with a microphone and all, you know, all these other, like, she did all this sisterly stuff. You know, it's all, we were together like crazy. That's how she knows me. Jesus wants to dwell with you. And through faith, you can experience him with you. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. I got to stop us there kind of mid-sentence because there's a lot happening. So first, if we're dwelling with Jesus, Paul is saying here that we can be rooted in faith, rooted and established in love. A lot of us have tons of issues. We know about Jesus and we're trying to do all sorts of good stuff, but we feel terrible about ourselves and we're eaten up with guilt or with doubt or with fear. And we would not describe our inside condition as rooted and established in love. I don't care how much you accomplished this last week, and I need to hear this too. If you're not rooted or established in Jesus' love, if your heart's not firm that Jesus loves you, if that's not the most loud voice in your heart, then you're not ready for all that God has for you. Right? The rooted and established, it comes because God's power shows up and you put your faith in Jesus, and then you get to live with Jesus. Don't step off of his love for you. Don't uproot from out of that. Some of you, that's maybe all you can bear to hear tonight, but you need to hear it. You have such a negative voice or talk about who you are, or you have so much fear or pride or whatever, that Jesus' love is not the loud voice in your heart. And so you're not ready to really follow him, because you don't really live like you know that he loves you. I pray that you may be rooted and established in love, may have power. So again, he's asking for power, together with all the Lord's holy people. So this is not just a special person that gets it. He says, what are we going to do with all this power? He says, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Like, there weren't enough dimensions for him to get there. Like, the love of Jesus is more than you've experienced. The love Jesus has for you is much more than you have experienced. You have not got anywhere close to figuring out how deep his love for you is. Some of us have gone there with other people. We thought somebody cared about us, and then things got tough, and we realized they cared about me, and then fill in the blank, this much. They were willing to put up with 3 months of no air conditioning, and then they're out, or whatever. You know, like, they were willing to love me this much. You've not got anywhere close to figuring out the depths of Jesus' love for you. Through God's power, you can grasp it. And then look how he describes it here. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Think, what is that word? Hang on with me. To know this love that surpasses knowledge. For a second, it sounds like Paul's not saying anything. And this is where it's hard to maybe, you know, when you get into deep waters, it's hard to explain stuff. Boop. Let me tell you a little story about prayer, and then we'll jump back into this passage. So my 3-year-old daughter, Sequoia, earlier this week was praying for, I don't know why, at the end of the night, why she decided to pray for us, but she prayed at nighttime. We always have the kids pray. Said, "Dear Jesus, I want to see a rainbow. Amen." Or something along those lines. Very simple prayer. I don't know where she got in her head that she wanted to see a rainbow, but that's what she prayed. The very next day, less than 24 hours later, we are over at my sister's house again, because they're like some of the only people we're hanging out with the kids. So we're over there a lot. And this gigantic full rainbow, and then another like half kind of double rainbow is out there, super bright. And like you can see the whole thing. For like 15 minutes, my nephew and my two kids are talking about it. And she's talking about how like God gave her that rainbow, like listened to her and gave her that rainbow. And then as we're driving home, the rainbow kind of faded as we were getting ready to leave. As we're driving home, outside her window, like boom, big and bright again. It's a gigantic rainbow. Now my daughter is 3. Sequoia's 3. She could tell you something like, "Jesus listened to me. Jesus gave me a rainbow." I have a feeling there's a lot more that she grasped in that moment than she can really say. Right? She knows the love of Jesus more than she can put onto a sheet of paper, right? Even in that moment. It's this idea that Jesus has so much love for you that at some point it's going to be more than you can hold in your intellectual brain. That you're going to experience things that you can't put into words. That you're going to know Jesus in such a way that you couldn't even tell someone else about it. That's how much Paul wants you to experience Jesus' love. To an unexplainable level where you know it, but it's gone beyond even what's up in your head. You know it like you could know maybe anyone, maybe better than you can even know somebody here on earth, right? He says it's only by God's power, saying I'm asking for God's power in your life so you can know this love that surpasses knowledge. some other people out here that you've been trying to follow Jesus, but you've been trying to follow him just with your brain. And Jesus has more for you than just what your brain can handle. And if you walk with him and experience him, stuff's going to happen that's going to be more than you can comprehend. Very last line that we're going to read tonight. I'm going to stop this prayer, even though it's got other great stuff, but there's enough for us to cover tonight. He says all this stuff, and he says, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Amen. Yes.
Paul asks for power so that through faith, Jesus can dwell with us. So that then through more power, we can know all of Jesus' love for us. So then we can be filled to the whole measure of the fullness of God. When I asked you at the beginning of the sermon, like, what did you want to be different this coming week? And I talked about your inside condition. None of us had the audacity to say, I want my inside condition to be the fullness of God. Ephesians talks a lot about the fullness of Jesus. If you want to read the whole book of Ephesians, only about 6 chapters, and they'll talk a lot about the fullness of God and the fullness of Jesus. But here, it makes it available to us as this family in Jesus. Remember, this isn't a prayer for one person. It's a prayer for a group of Christians. And Paul's saying, I want you as a group to be totally full with everything that God has. And you're going to get there through God's power and through your faith and through more God's power. And it's just basically going to be built on Jesus' love. Experiencing Jesus' love is how you're going to get that full. There was this discussion over in the group over there where somebody was saying, let's not talk so much about Jesus, let's let our lives show it. And someone else was saying, I talk about Jesus all the time, and that's what Jesus wants us to do. The reality is they're both two sides of the same coin. They're like, Jesus wants to be so full inside of you that people see it and are drawn to it. You don't have to talk about it to draw people to it. And then at the same time, he should be flowing out of the overflow of every part of your life. Not your mouth ahead of you, but your mouth right there with you. Your mouth with where your actions is at, right? So I talked a lot tonight. I tried to unpack this passage for us, but I promised you guys we would do something practical. And so here's what I want to challenge us with. This prayer that's given to us, Paul doesn't just snap his fingers, even though he's Apostle Paul, he's a way, way bigger deal than I am or any of us are. He is still spending time praying for this group of Christians to experience it. Because even Paul can't mastermind it to happen. He can't preach a sermon for it to happen. He can't say to a few people, just watch me and then it'll happen. Paul's convinced that the thing he needs to do for this to happen for the church is he needs to be praying about it. For us to have the community that God wants us to have, I'm convinced a big piece of it is going to be us praying. I've seen some amazing prayer warriors at Maywood. I've heard about, back in Billy Graham crusade days, about prayer really grabbing Maywood. But I believe God wants to do something new with us and with praying in this season. And I don't have it all figured out. I'm praying, trying to figure it out. But a first step for us to take, if you guys will trust me with that, is what if we were inspired by this prayer and you, this week, started praying with some other Maywood person every day this week, just 7 days. And if you're up for being face-to-face with people, if you're face-to-face getting tacos somewhere, like, you might as well be face-to-face praying. If you're being super careful with coronavirus stuff, then treat it that way too. Have a Zoom meeting prayer or whatever you want to do. But what if you said every single day this week, I'm going to get together with a person, the same person, maybe not even just one person, maybe you and 12 people are going to get together. we're going to get together and we're going to pray this sort of stuff, that we as a group at Maywood could know the love of Jesus this way, that we could be filled with God this way through his power and our faith. And I don't know exactly where that's going to take us, and I don't think it's going to take us to the end of the line, but I think like that's our step this week, is if Paul was praying that, I think we should be praying that sort of stuff. Because I don't think church in August is going to look like church last August, obviously. But my goal isn't to get us to be exactly where we were. My goal for Maywood is for us to be all that Jesus wants us to be. And we have so far to go. I think let's start it with prayer and not prayer by ourselves. There's nothing wrong with prayer by ourselves, but there is more power praying together. And if we want to be a family, I can't think of a better step towards family than getting together daily and praying together. Okay, so I know everybody's lives are busy. I don't know how you're going to pull it off. This thing can take 5 minutes or it can take 5 hours. You can figure that out. But I'm asking for daily, and I'm asking for you to do it with another Maywood person.